after you have thrown the pebbles and shaved or cut some of your hair, the prohibitions of ihram are lifted, excepting the prohibition of sexual intercourse with your spouse. This is the first tahallul, that is, returning to one's normal state. You are now to wear your usual clothes. 7. Then you go to Mecca and perform the tawaf al-ifada, the tawaf which is an essential part of the Hajj. If you're doing Hajj al-Tamattu, you also perform Sa'i. If you're performing Hajj al-Ifrad or Hajj al-Qiran and you did not perform Sa'i with Tawaf al-Qudum, the Tawaf of arrival, you must do Sa'i now. After this, the prohibition of marital relations is also lifted and you return to a completely normal life. It's permissible to delay the Tawaf al-Ifada until the days spent at Mina are over. Going to Mecca for this Tawaf after all three pillars have been stoned. 8. After performing your Tawaf al-Ifada on the day of sacrifice, return to Mina and spend there the night preceding the 11th, 12th and 13th days of Dhul Hijjah, the 3 days following the day of sacrifice, which are known as Ayyamut Tashweeq. It is however permissible to spend only 2 nights in Mina instead of 3. 9. At any time in the afternoon of each of the 2 or 3 days of your stay in Mina, stone each of the 3 pillars, starting with the first pillar, that is the one which is farthest from Mecca, followed by the middle pillar, and lastly the pillar of Aqaba. Throw 7 pebbles, one by one, at each of these pillars, saying Allahu Akbar at each throw. If you stay in Mina for only 2 days, you must leave Mina before the sun sets on the second day. If the sun should set before you are able to depart, remain in Mina for the third night and throw pebbles again in the next day. In any case, it's preferable to remain in Mina for 3 nights. It's permissible for the sick and the weak to appoint a proxy to throw their pebbles. The proxy first throws his own pebbles, followed by the pebbles of the person he represents while at the same pillar. Number 10. If you decide to return to your country after completing the rites of Hajj, you perform the farewell tawaf, that is, tawaful wada'. Before leaving Mecca, no one is excused from this except women who are menstruating or in the period of discharge following childbirth. Obligations during Ihram. During the state of Ihram for Hajj or Umrah, the following are obligatory. Number 1. Faithfully observe all that Allah has made obligatory, such as the daily prayers at their proper times. Number 2. To avoid what Allah has prohibited, such as wrongdoing, quarreling, and committing sins. Number 3. To guard against injuring the Muslims by deed or by word. Number 4. To abstain from what is prohibited during Ihram, namely, A. Do not cut your nails or pull out hair. There is no blame on you if these break or come off by themselves without your intending it. B. Do not use scent, whether on the clothes or on the body, or in food or drink. There is no harm if the effect of scent applied before putting on ihram remains. C. Do not kill, frighten, or assist in hunting any land game as long as you are in ihram. D. Within the precincts of al-haram, no one in the state of ihram or not is allowed to cut trees, pluck vegetables, or collect a lost property except for the sake of identifying it for its owner, for the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said so. E. Do not propose to a woman or contract marriage, either for yourself or on behalf of others. Sexual intercourse is prohibited too. So is touching the opposite sex with desire. All these actions are prohibited during the period of Ihram. All these prohibitions apply equally to men and women alike. In particular, a man may not put any covering on his head. However, the shade of an umbrella or the roof of a car is permissible. There is no harm in carrying something on the head. A man may not wear a shirt or anything else which is sewn, such as a burnous, turban, trousers, khuf, that is, short thin boot, on the whole or a part of his body. However, if an izar, one of the two garments of ihram, worn on the lower part of the body, is not available, trousers may be worn, and if sandals are not available, khuf may be worn. It's forbidden for a woman to wear gloves on her hands, or to cover her face with a face veil, that is niqab, or burqa, that is drape, during the state of ihram. However, if male strangers are around her, she should conceal her face with her head covering or something similar. These rules apply until she comes out of ihram. If a person wears a sewn garment or covers his head for men, uses perfume, pulls out some hairs, or cuts his nails through forgetfulness or due to ignorance, there is no fidyah, that is, expiation for him. He should stop doing such things as soon as he remembers or is reminded of them. It's permissible to wear sandals, a ring, a pair of glasses, a hearing aid, a wrist watch, and a belt or a girdle which protects one's money or documents. It's permissible to change one's clothes and to wash them, as well as to wash one's hair and body. And it does not matter if some hair inadvertently falls out during washing. Visitation of the Prophet's Mosque. Number 1. Going to Medina at any time with the intention of visiting the Prophet's Mosque is a sunnah, as is performing salah in it. According to a hadith of the Prophet, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, a salah performed in the Prophet's Mosque is better than 1,000 salats in any other place excepting the sacred mosque, that is Masjid al-Haram, al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. Number 2. There is no ihram nor talbiyah for the visit to the Prophet's Mosque. And it should be emphasized that there is no connection whatsoever between this visit and the Hajj. Number 3. When you enter the Prophet's Mosque, enter with your right foot first, saying the name of Allah, the Most High, and evoking blessings on His Prophet, may His peace and blessings be upon him, and ask Allah to open the gates of His mercy for you. The recommended words for entering any mosque, including the Prophet's Mosque, are أعوذ بالله العظيم ووجهه الكريم وسلطانه القديم من الشيطان الرجيم اللهم افتح لي أبواب رحمتك. I seek refuge in Allah the Almighty and His noble countenance and in His eternal power from Satan the rejected. O Allah, open to me the doors of your mercy. Number 4. Perform 2 rakats of Tahiyyatul Masjid, the salah of greeting of the mosque, after entering the mosque, preferably in the Rawdah or otherwise anywhere else in the mosque. Number 5. Then go to the grave of the Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and standing in front of it and facing it, say in a respectful and hushed voice, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be on you, O Prophet, and the mercy and blessings of Allah. and call for the blessings of Allah on him. There is no harm if you add, Allahumma atihi al-wasilata wal-fadila wab'athhu al-maqam al-mahmood al-ladhi wa'adtah Allahumma jizihi an ummatih afdal al-jaza. O Lord, give him the right of intercession and the favor, and raise him to that praiseworthy station which you promised to him. O Allah, reward him on behalf of his ummah, people, with the best of rewards. Then, move a little to the right to stand before the grave of Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him. Greet him and supplicate Allah to bestow his mercy and forgiveness on him. Again, move a little to the right to stand before the grave of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, and greet him and make supplications for him. Number 6. It is sunnah to have tahara and visit the mosque of Quba and offer salah in it. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prayed there and encouraged others to do the same. Number 7. It is sunnah to visit the graves of Al-Baqiyya cemetery and the grave of Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, and the martyrs of Uhud, and the grave of Hamza, may Allah be pleased with him, to greet them and to pray for the mercy of Allah upon them. The Prophet ﷺ used to visit all these graves and pray for the souls of those who were buried there. He taught his companions when visiting graves to say, As-salamu alaykum ahla diyar min al-mu'mineen wal-muslimin وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ لَاحِقُونَ نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ لَنَا وَلَكُمُ الْعَافِيَةِ. Reported by Muslim. Peace be on you, all dwellers of this place, from among the believers and the Muslims, and we will inshallah join you. We ask Allah for security from the fire of hell, for ourselves and for you. According to the Sharia, besides the mosques and other places mentioned above, there are no other mosques or places in Mecca, in Medina, which are to be visited. Therefore, do not burden yourself by visiting places for which there is no reward, or for which, in fact, there might be some blame for doing so, and Allah is the source of guidance. Errors often committed by pilgrims. First, errors related to Ihram. Some pilgrims pie bars the designated station of Ihram on their route without either being in Ihram or entering into Ihram there, proceeding until they reach Jeddah or some other place within the precincts of the stations at which they enter into Ihram. This is against the command of Allah's Messenger, peace be upon him, which stipulates that every pilgrim should enter into Ihram at the station of Ihram which lies on his route. If this happens to someone, he must either go back to the station of Ihram on his route and there enter into Ihram, or he must make expiation by sacrificing a sheep in Mecca and feeding all its meat to the poor. This applies to all pilgrims, regardless of whether one passes the station of Ihram by air, by sea, or by land. If one did not pass through one of the five designated stations of Ihram, he should enter into Ihram at a point which is nearest to the station of Ihram on his route. Second, errors related to Tawaf. 1. Starting the tawaf at some point other than the site of the black stone, while it is obligatory to begin tawaf from the black stone. 2. Doing one's tawaf inside the Hijr of Ismail, which means going around a portion of the Kaaba rather than the whole of it, since the Hijr of Ismail is a part of the Kaaba, which would then be left out of tawaf. Such a tawaf is invalid. 3. Doing ramal, that is, taking quick short steps, during all seven circuits, while ramal is to be done only during the first three of the tawaf of arrival, tawaf al-qudum. 4. Struggling vehemently to kiss the black stone, in this process, and hitting or pushing people, such acts which are injurious to Muslims are not permissible. It should be noted that the tawaf remains perfectly valid without kissing the black stone. If one does not or cannot kiss the black stone, it's sufficient simply to point to it, saying Allahu Akbar, when one comes parallel to it, although one may be at a distance from it. 5. Wiping one's hands over the black stone, seeking blessings, barakah, thereby, is an innovation, bid'ah, with no basis in the Sharia of Islam. The sunnah is to touch it or kiss it only when it can be done easily. 6. Touching the four corners of Al-Kaaba or its walls and wiping one's hands against them. The Prophet ﷺ did not touch any part of the Kaaba except the black stone and the Yemeni corner. 7. Saying specific formulas of supplications reserved for each circuit. The Prophet ﷺ did not specify any supplications except to say Allahu Akbar when he reached the black stone, and at the end of each circuit between the Yemeni corner and the black stone he said ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. 8. Raising one's voice above the voices of others, whether it in following or leading the tawaf, as it causes confusion among the worshippers. 9. Struggling to pray at the station of Ibrahim. This is contrary to the sunnah, besides being injurious to other worshippers. It is sufficient to pray the two rak'ahs of tawaf after completing one's tawaf anywhere within the sacred mosque. 3. Errors related to sa'i. Number 1. When climbing upon Safa and Marwa, some pilgrims face the Kaaba and gesticulate toward it with their hand while saying Allahu Akbar, as if they were saying takbir for salah. This gesticulating is an error because the Prophet ﷺ raised his palms only for supplication. Here you may glorify and magnify Allah, the Most High, supplicating Him in any words you wish, while facing the direction of the Kaaba. It is preferable to recite the dhikr which the Prophet ﷺ recited at As-Safa and Al-Marwa. Number 2. Accelerating one's pace throughout the entire distance between the two hills. The sunnah is to accelerate one's pace only between the two green posts while walking at normal pace the remainder of the way. 4. Errors related to Arafat. 1. Some pilgrims camp outside the boundaries of Arafat and remain there until the sun has set. Then they depart from Muzdalifah without standing at Arafat properly. This is a serious error, which invalidates their Hajj, since standing in Arafat is the essence of Hajj, and it is obligatory to be within its boundaries and not outside them. If it is not easy to do that, they may enter before sunset and remain there until sunset. It is quite acceptable to stand in Arafat during the night of sacrifice in particular. 2. Departing from Arafat before the sun has set is not permissible because the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stayed at Arafat until the sun had set completely. 3. Struggling through crowds in order to climb Mount Arafat is not permissible because it causes much harm and injury to others. The entire plain of Arafat is a place of standing, and neither climbing Mount Arafat nor making salah there has been recommended. 4. Making supplications facing Mount Arafat is incorrect because the sunnah is to face Qibla while making supplication. 5. Making heaps of earth or pebbles during the day of Arafat at particular places by some people has no basis in the Sharia of Allah. 5. Errors related to Muzdalifah. Some pilgrims start collecting pebbles to throw at the stone pillars in Mina as soon as they arrive in Muzdalifah, prior to praying the Maghrib and Isha prayers. This is not correct, nor is the practice that all the pebbles must be collected at Muzdalifah. The correct position is that the pebbles can be collected anywhere within the boundaries of Al-Haram, the territory or precincts of Mecca. It is known that the Prophet ﷺ did not ask that the pebbles for Jamratul Aqaba be picked up for him from Muzdalifah. They were picked up for him in the morning after leaving Muzdalifah and on entering Mina. The rest of the pebbles were picked up for him from Mina too. Some pilgrims wash the pebbles, but this is not recommended. Error related to throwing the pebbles. 1. Some pilgrims are under the impression that when they are throwing pebbles at the stone pillar, they are actually throwing them at shaitan, devils, or shayateen. Hence, they hurl them with rage and force. However, the throwing of the pebbles has been merely prescribed as a means of remembering Allah the Most High. 2. Some people throw big stones, shoes, or pieces of wood. This is an excess in matters of religion, which the Prophet ﷺ prohibited. What is allowed is to throw pebbles the size of good beans. 3. Crowding and fighting with others at the pillars while throwing the pebbles is not permissible. What is prescribed is to be gentle and to throw the pebbles without hurting anyone as much as possible. 4. Throwing all the pebbles at one time is an error. Scholars have said that this would be counted as only one throw. The Sharia prescribes throwing the pebbles one by one, saying Allahu Akbar at each separate throw. 5. Appointing a proxy to throw the pebbles simply due to fear of the crowds or of hardship, while one is capable of doing it himself, only sick or weak individuals are permitted to have a proxy for this act. 7. Errors related to the farewell tawaf, tawaful wada. 1. On the day of their departure, some pilgrims go to Mecca to perform their farewell tawaf before throwing the pebbles at the pillars. Then they return to Mina to throw the pebbles and depart from Mina for their respective countries. Thus, their final rite becomes that of throwing the pebbles at the pillars and not of the tawaf of Al-Kaaba. This is an error, as the Prophet ﷺ said, no one should depart without his last visit being to the house, that is the Kaaba. Accordingly, the farewell tawaf must take place after one has completed all the rites of Hajj and before starting his journey for home. After this tawaf, one should not stay in Mecca except during the time it takes to prepare to depart. 2. After finishing the farewell tawaf, some people walk backwards facing the Kaaba as they exit from the sacred mosque, under the impression that this is a veneration of the Kaaba. This act is an innovation, bid'ah, in the religion and is without any basis. 3. After finishing the farewell tawaf, some pilgrims halt at the door of the sacred mosque to make supplications. This is also an innovation with no basis in the Sharia of Islam. 8. Errors related to the visit of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet's mosque. 1. Touching and wiping one's hands on the walls and iron grills, tying threads to the gratings and other acts of this sort while visiting the grave of the Prophet ﷺ in order to receive blessings, that is barakah, are an innovation, bid'ah. Blessings come from following what Allah and His Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, have prescribed, and not from following innovations. Going to the graves and the caves of Mount Uhud, or to the caves of Hira, going to the caves of Mount Uhud, or to the caves of Hira or Thawr near Mecca, and hanging pieces of cloth, or making supplications there, have not been prescribed by Allah. All these are unnecessary hardships, innovations in the religion, and are without any basis in the Sharia. 3. Likewise, visiting certain sites under the impression that these constitute relics of the Prophet ﷺ, as for example the place where his camel sat, the well of Uthman or the well of the ring, and gathering soil from these places to obtain blessings are all innovations. 4. Calling upon the dead while visiting the graves at the Baqiya cemetery or the graves of the martyrs of Uhud and throwing coins in order to seek the blessings of the place or of the people buried there is a grievous error. Indeed, it is shirk, ascribing partners to Allah the Most High. As has been pointed out by scholars, it is clear from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that all forms of worship are for Allah alone. It is not permissible to call upon or to offer sacrifice, give vow, or any other form of ibadah worship except for Allah alone. Allah the Most High says, and they were commanded nothing except to worship Allah only, purifying the religion for Him alone. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And he also says, verily the places of worship are for Allah alone. So do not call on anyone else apart from Him. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. So do not call on anyone else apart from Allah. We ask Allah the Most High to improve the condition of the Muslims and to give them understanding of the religion and to turn all of us away from errors and deviations. Indeed, He is the hearing, the responding. من فضلك تابع بقية المادة.